welcome to CS50 Finance. Congratulations, though, on finishing all of the CP sets for CS50. Now we move on to the web portion of the course. Moving away from C, we're going to be dealing with PHP, and you'll find that there are going to be a lot of similarities in the logic of things, but in terms of the syntax of things, there's going to be some differences. Firstly, in PHP, variables, they start with a dollar sign before their name, and they're weakly typed. That means that unlike C, you don't need to worry about setting something equal to a string or an integer or a specific data type. You can just assign the value. PHP also has associative arrays. You could simply define an array like you would in C. Or in PHP, you can also assign a word to an index, and that will correspond to a value. So if you actually define index A is 1, B is 2, and C is 3, then your array at index A would give you 1. Then we're also going to take advantage of the fact that you can mix HTML code with PHP code. So within your HTML blocks, if you include a block with a question mark PHP, then you can put PHP code in it and it'll execute within your HTML. Now, when you're making a website, you want to make sure that the appropriate files and folders are chmodded, or rather that the permissions for those are appropriate. So for all folders, you'll want to chmod 711 for your folder. All images, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, chmod 644 with the file name. 644 because users shouldn't execute an image. PHP, chmod 600 file because you don't want users to see your PHP code. If you want to chmod everything in a given directory, then just add a wildcard star after the name of the directory. And so if you chmod 644 for everything within the image directory, then it'll be readable by everyone. So let's look at the distribution code. The distribution code has three folders: includes, public, and templates. The includes directory has three files: config.php, constants.php, and functions.php. Then your public directory. That's where the PHP files will go that have the logic. And those PHP files, they're going to call render on given template files. More on this later, but remember that basically any file is within your public directory, that's what users will visit. But you'll actually never see anything inside your PHP file. You'll see things in the template PHP files. So when a template file is rendered by a controller in public, the public folder, it'll replace the placeholders for variables with the variables in the associative array that render passes them in. So templates will have information, display forms, things like that. Okay, so let's look at functions.php. Functions.php has a bunch of functions that you'll find quite useful. Apologize, dump, logout, lookup, which returns a stock symbol, query, which executes a SQL statement, redirect, which redirects the user to a different web page, and then render, which outputs a template. So let's look at an example of how you can render a file. Here I have hello.php within my public directory and hello.php within my templates directory. Now, don't be confused by the fact that they have the same name. They have different paths, therefore they're different files. So hello.php within the public directory, that's going to be my controller. So within that code, I'm going to call render on template slash hello.php, passing in my associative array name as my index and Milo as the value. So then in template slash hello.php, it has a placeholder for the name passed in by the associative array. That'll essentially replace that segment with Milo because Milo was passed in as the value. Now, if you want multiple values to be passed in, that's great too. You can pass in multiple values in your associative array. So here I have a message as well as a name, and those are both displayed in my template. So what do you need to do for CS50 Finance? Well, you'll have to implement register, which basically is going to be a series of PHP files that allows the user to register for the CS50 Finance site. Quote will allow a user to look up a quote and see how much that is. Portfolio will display to the user what stocks they currently have in their portfolio. Buy allows them to buy a stock, sell, therefore, allows them to sell one. then they should also be able to see the history of all of their transactions. And in addition, you'll have your choice of implementing an extra feature for the site. So let's tackle register first. Register should allow the user to register with the site. So how do we do this? Well, first we'll need to display a form allowing them to register, check whether they submitted valid passwords, and then if it's all successful, then add the user to the database. So first, let's display the form. You'll need to make a template, perhaps registerform.php, with a form that submits to register.php, the controller. The register.php controller can then create the account. It's going to be very similar to loginform.php, so perhaps you might want to copy those. Adding in a password confirmation field to your form where the user should be able to enter their password in again. Then you can check whether the user submitted valid passwords. You need to make sure that first both aren't blank, else you should apologize. Then you need to make sure that the password and the confirmation are the exact same thing, else you should apologize again. Here, to compare strings in PHP, you can just use the equals operator. So goodbye to string compare. Now, what does apologize mean? Apologize is a function in includes/functions.php. Passing in a message will display a page that displays your message. And if you look at apologize function, really it just renders apology.php. So now we're ready to add the user to the database, provided that the username that they submitted isn't blank. Otherwise, we're going to apologize. Now, usernames are a unique field in the database users that you have in your SQL database. That means that you can't have two users with the same username. Makes enough sense, but how do you check for that? Well, query will return false on failure. So if you set your result of query and check that to false, well, then an error has occurred, such as a duplicate username. But if the result isn't false, then we can insert that new user into our table. Using the following SQL command, we'll insert in me as a new user with a password hash and an initial amount of cash, and that'll insert a new row into users. But that's in SQL. How do you execute a SQL query in PHP? In PHP, the query function takes placeholders. So you can type in your string using question marks as placeholders, and then after that string, you can have commas separating the values that you want to substitute in. Very much like the printf function, except instead of %s or %d, you can just use a question mark because variables are weakly typed. And this works for any SQL query. Question mark, you can have as many as you'd like as long as you have the same number of variables passed in after that string. So finally, once we insert the user and update that user in our database, then we can log them in. We want to log them in automatically. So just as soon as you insert them in, you can check for their user ID by executing the following query. Select last insert ID as ID. That stores the result from that query inside of rows, but rows is actually going to be an array, so you need to access the first element of that array and then the ID, because that's an associative array. Great. And then you have their ID successfully registering from the site, and they can proceed from there. Let's allow the user to look up information about a given stock. For quote, we want to display a form so that the user can input the stock that they want information about. Then we'll retrieve the stock quote and display it for them. So let's display a form that allows the user to input a given stock symbol that they want to look up, which means that we'll want to make a form within a quote template, perhaps quoteform.php. And the action of that form, well, we'll want to send that submission to the controller, perhaps quote.php, within the public directory. Then afterwards, we'll retrieve that stock quote. The function lookup, passing in the string of a symbol, that'll return an associative array with index, names, symbol, name, and price. Now that we've looked the stock up, let's display it. Now displaying indicates that we should have another template. We already have quoteform.php as a template, and then we have a controller quote.php. But now we're displaying something different in a slightly different format. So let's create another template, perhaps quote.php, but within the templates directory. At minimum, just display the quote. But you only want to display the quote as long as the stock is valid. So if it isn't valid, then you'll want to apologize, as usual. To print the price of a quote, you can just use this string here. But you do need to format to 2 to 4 decimal places, so look into the function number format for how to do that. With that, you've displayed a quote for the stock that the user has suggested. For portfolio, you'll want to display all stocks that a user has, make a portfolio table, and display that portfolio. Now, portfolio would, presumably for every user, contain a bunch of rows listing the type of share that they have and then how many of those shares they have. Right now, we have a users table in our database, and that contains a user's username as well as their password and how much cash they have. Now, there's no real way of storing all of their stocks within that table. It's not like we can insert new columns for every stock. That would be a very, very long row because we have a really big quantity of types of stocks that they could have. So instead, what we'll do is that within the same database, we'll have our users table, but then we'll also have a portfolio table. Now the portfolio table will definitely be linked to the users table, but instead, the portfolio table structure will have stock information, how many shares of that stock the user has, as well as the given user's particular ID number. Now the users table has an ID as well as the username and the hash, which is the password, the encrypted password, and then the amount of cash that they have. Those ID numbers should be linked to each other. So the portfolio would just have the symbol of the stock as well as the shares, the number of shares. And within that portfolio table, you'd have all shares possessed by all of the users on your site. Later on, to display just one specific user's shares, only their portfolio, you can retrieve the values from your portfolio's table such that the ID number is specific to the current user. But every user presumably is going to have multiple shares, so how do you display all of those rows? Well, query will actually return an array of rows, so if you iterate over that row, then you can get to every single row that matches your given query. So if I select the symbol and the shares from my portfolio table where the ID is the current user's ID, the session ID, then I can use a for each loop in PHP, quite a useful loop here, and iterate over, accessing the particular value in the associative array that I need at that time. Here, the symbol in row and the shares in row. Now, where do you do this? Well, index.php is the controller because it calls render portfolio.php. So that means that portfolio.php is the template. So we need to think about what variables we need to pass in from index, which will do all of the querying, into portfolio. We need to report at minimum each of the stocks in a user's portfolio, the number of shares that they have, and the current value, which is going to be the stock's current price times the number of the shares, in addition to the user's current cash balance. With that, they can see their entire stock portfolio. So far, I've talked about how to show a quote for a particular stock and how to show a user's portfolio, but we haven't allowed them to buy any shares yet, so let's get to that. Well, you'll want to display a form for the user to get a certain stock and indicate the number of shares that they want to buy. Then you'll want to add that stock to the portfolio and update the user's cash. Now the buy form template, that's old hat by now. It's going to be an HTML form that can ask for the symbol and the number of shares of a stock. Then let's add that stock to the user's portfolio. Well, first we need to check whether a user can afford the stock, right? So if you select cash from users, for a particular user's ID, then you can check that cash to see if they can afford all of the stocks that they want. Now, if they want to buy more of the same stock, then you'll need to allow that to update a given row in the portfolio as opposed to add a new one. So in the insert into SQL query, add a onDuplicateKey update shares to the current value of shares plus the number of values that they want to add in. Then let's update the cash. We've already selected it from before, so this is going to be similar. Instead of selecting, though, we're going to update it and set it to cash equals cash minus a certain number. What's that number? Well, it's going to be the price of the stock, the current price, times the number of shares that the user wants. With that, they've bought their first stock. Now let's make some money by selling some stocks. To sell a stock, a user can only really sell a stock that they themselves own. So you're going to display the form where you obtain the stock that the user wants to sell, remove that stock from their portfolio, and update the user's cash. The template for selling stocks should be a form where the user can choose which stock to sell, but only if that stock is one that they own. So you can select from your portfolio where the given user's ID is the session ID. Then removing the stock from the portfolio. Well, that's just the delete from SQL query. Finally, updating cash. Well, the stock is sold at its current price. So look back to the SQL query that you used for buy and edit that. Now we're left with history, where you want to allow a user to keep track of all of their transactions. They want to see whenever they sold something, whenever they bought a stock, and we want to specify the time at which they did that, as well as how many stocks they bought and what share it was. Now, we might ask ourselves, do we have any current existing structure that specifies that information? Well, we do have portfolio, and that displays the number of stocks that a user has for a given share. But we're structuring portfolio in the way that it updates whenever we buy multiple. So if you buy Apple, 10 shares of it, and then later on sell 5, then in history, you would want to see those separately as separate actions, whereas that action in our portfolio would just be an update. So we're probably going to want another table. In our database, we have our users table and we have our portfolio table. So now let's add a history table. And that history table can keep track of the current date of the transaction, as well as the particular stock symbol and how many shares, and then what action it is, whether you were buying those shares or whether you were selling them. You can store the timestamp of the transaction in SQL using now or current timestamp when you execute a buy or a sell. For the final feature in CS50 Finance, we'll allow you to decide of the following. The password change feature, that'll be very similar to the register process. The password reset, well, that'll need an email from the user so that you can email them a link to reset their password. So perhaps edit the registration form so that it takes an email address as well. Then to email users receipts anytime they buy or sell a stock, well, you'll also need an email. So perhaps keep that modification to the registration form. Then finally, allow a user to add cash. That'll involve another template probably and another controller, allowing a user to add cash to their own account. Here you have a bit of freedom, so you can either allow them to add as much cash as they want or perhaps just a given amount at a time. Now that we've moved away from C in the terminal, we have a lot more freedom over how things look. So feel free to play with the CSS and make the website look snazzy. Also feel free to add extra features beyond the ones that are required. Have your friends test out your website to check out any bugs that you might have. With that, you've finished maybe your first website ever. Congratulations. My name is Zamyla, and this was CS50 Finance.